Cohen. Welcome back to Radio Times. It's been more than 2 years since a scandal at the Veterans Administration came to light involving long wait times for veterans to see doctors at VA hospitals because of bureaucratic backlogs. Remember those pictures of bowed floors straining under the weight of piles of case files? Well, efforts to address the problem have created another set of problems, according to our guest, Kristen Rule. She's a lawyer at the VA's Pensions Management Center here in Philadelphia and testified before a congressional committee this week about gross mismanagement at her office and retaliation for her blowing the whistle. We asked her to join us on Radio Times. And Kristen Rule, nice to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. You're a quality review specialist. What is your job?
I review the quality of the cases that come through the Pension Center for accuracy and make sure the payments are correct.
In your testimony before the Congressional Committee earlier this week, you talked about a number of things, including the improper shredding of military mail. Describe what it is that you were telling the members of the committee.
Sometimes we get mail from the veterans, and it's not easily identifiable because they don't put all of their information on there, such as they might leave their social security stuff, they might not have their full name, they might. So for a bunch of reasons, this mail is hard to identify. So because the people, when the claims come in, are in production, they have to rush and identify what they're looking at quickly. And if something's not easily identifiable, it can impact the job, their production.
You know, we don't have the greatest phone line here. I'm going to we're going to call you back very quickly and try to establish a better phone line because I want to make sure that our listeners hear what you have to say. And just a quick recap here before we get Kristen Rule back on the line. Joining us by cell phone, and sometimes that is a problem. And I should add that earlier this week she testified before the House Committee on Veterans Affairs and talked about what she described as the mishandling of claims at the VA's Pensions Management Center. That's here in Philadelphia. She also said that she faced retaliation for blowing the whistle about her workplace. And we wanted to hear from her directly about what she told members of Congress. And then in a bit later on in the show, we'll be joined by David Woods to discuss this ongoing scandal involving claims, veteran claims, and what has been done to address this problem and why problems still remain. And I should add that David Woods is a Pulitzer Prize winning senior military correspondent for the Huffington Post. And I think we have Kristen Rule back. Kristen, I just want to see if we can get you on a slightly better phone line. So thanks for joining us once again on Radio Times. You were talking about these claims that would come in and sometimes with imperfect information.
Yes. And so it was our job to identify the person who the claim came from, whether it be a veteran or their survivor, and we need to link it to the correct veteran in the system. So because the VA operates on production standards, it's very hard for somebody to quickly identify some of these more challenging pieces of mail. So the workers were putting them aside to go back to them at a later date when they would have more time, but because the VA always operates in a backlog, that day never came, and boxes were piling up of this mail that wasn't easily identifiable and were being stored, and someone had tipped me off that these things were going to be headed to the shredder. So I stayed late one day, and I went downstairs, and I opened the boxes, and I found things in there that are not supposed to be shredded. So I reported it, and we stopped it from going to the shredder.
And I have to say, I've seen some photos of some of the boxes there. We're talking about, what, almost 100 boxes?
Yeah, there were 96.
96 boxes there. And this is something that you told the House committee. You also talked about changing some of the dates, and this gets a little complicated, but help our listeners understand why that's important.
When a veteran submits a claim, we're supposed to work the claims in the order that they were received. So some claims that were older, because, again, of the production and the number requirements that Washington has, when these claims were coming in, for one reason or another, they weren't placed under control like they were supposed to be. So placed under control means putting them in the computer so that we know when we got the claim, how long it's been pending, who it's for, things like that. So some of the claims that were sitting around or were coming from other regional offices in the mail, if you live in New York and you sent your claim to the wrong place and that office would mail it to Philly, there'd be a lapse of time from the date stamped when it was received in New York and when it gets processed in Philly. We're supposed to put the claim in the system on the earliest date stamp. That's what the law says. Philly was using this fast letter that they talked about in the hearing to manipulate the data claim and make the claim look like it was new. And although we were told to pay the veteran from the earliest date stamp, mm-hmm. people that had been waiting for a really long time were getting a new data claim, so their claim was no longer a priority, and they're at the back of the list once again.
And the changing of the date came from, is it a misunderstanding of what was coming from the VA, or was it something else at your office?
They issued a policy decision. The VA calls these things a FAST letter, and it's supposed to be, you know, how they want all the workers to interpret a certain law or policy. And I believe the VA, when they did this, had good intentions, mm-hmm. that it was for rare circumstances when you stumble on a claim that you might find that we missed years ago. And because everything's done by production and average days pending, if you would put something under control from 3 years ago, it would mess up the numbers. So there was going to probably be a few instances when this should happen. Our office used it on any claims that were pending older than a certain date, not just the claims per the FAST letter that were supposed to be found in a claims folder. It was meant for things that you stumbled on in a claims folder, not every piece of mail that was coming into the facility.
One of the things that you told the members of the committee, you described the unreasonable and unattainable production requirements. So the office, in a sense, responding to what they felt like were requirements that you think were unreasonable and unattainable, because, of course, the effort is to deal with the backlog of claims.
Yes, whoever makes the production standards doesn't actually process claims, and you can't really, these aren't widgets. So you can't really put a time on each claim that you process. Some take a lot longer, some are easy, some are more difficult. So because we have these standards and every claim is treated the same, if you don't get your production standards by the end of the day, you can be failing and then they'll fire you. So people, because of these production standards, people rush, they're forced to cut corners. Honest employees are forced to do things that might be slightly dishonest. And it's just a bad situation.
Let me quote something that you told the committee. You say the VA's problems are a result of morally bankrupt managers that through time and grade have moved up into powerful positions where they have the power to and continue to ruin people's lives. I can speak from experience. I do not believe in manipulating data to achieve monetary gain for myself while harming the veterans and their survivors. You are a whistleblower, and you claim that you have been, in a sense, punished for it.
Yeah, at the VA, they will make you look a certain way if you speak up, as if you're not a good worker. They will write you up for things that you didn't do or that you shouldn't be written up for to give you an employment record with negative things on it so that they can eventually fire you. So anytime I would make a suggestion or try and report something, I found myself being called in and asked if I, slandered somebody. I was starting to be followed on breaks, and my breaks were being timed, and they had my boss come out and get me on a break. My car was damaged. A cup of coffee was thrown on the front of my car 2 days after I reported the FAST letter that I was just speaking of. I was suspended and admonished for nonsense, which eventually they did overturn. But they tried to make you look like you're crazy so that when you report things, you don't have any credibility.
I know, and I believe it was 2012, you and another of your workers there at the pension center went to the New York Times to talk about some of the same things that we're talking about today.
Yes, and not much was done, unfortunately.
Do you think, though, and this has, gone pretty public, you testified before Congress, you've been written up in newspapers, you're on the radio, do you think your going public like this will affect some changes at your office?
I'm hoping and praying it does. If it doesn't, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get attention on this matter because the veterans deserve much more and so do the employees. I believe the major problem at the VA is accountability. To date, I've been at the office. I'm not there today, but I was there yesterday and the day before, and the people who wrote the note that they put up on the screen on the TV mm-hmm. are still working there, and they have punished employees for far less, and when these people behave like this and they fire people illegally, nothing happens to them. They don't. They have a different standard than the people that they're managing.
So, what do you want these man? What do you? What? How should these managers be dealt with?
I think the same way that they treat employees. If someone can be punished, I represent employees as well, and an employee has been disciplined for sending an email with a curse word in it. Based on the note that was shown in front of the whole country at the hearing, mm-hmm. the person who wrote that note should be disciplined. If you fire a number of people illegally and their firings are overturned, I don't think that person should be in management because it seems that they're not the type of person that should be in charge of a large number of employees. So I would really like the people that have been ruining other people's lives to not be in these positions mm-hmm. of power, because the more chance they're given at doing this, nothing's really changing at the VA.
So what was it like for you to be at work this week after your testimony on Monday?
Actually, I was pleasantly surprised. Employees came up to me. They gave me hugs. Someone bought me lunch. The VA central office called me the second I got in on Wednesday morning and asked if I needed anything and if I was okay. So it's a shame that it takes national media attention to get them to understand the problem, because I've been for 4 years. I didn't do anything different this time than I had the last 4 years, and no one had cared to protect us prior to this.
So why do you think that's different today?
I think the hospital scandal had a lot to do with it. It's a shame that people had to lose their lives to get attention to the VA corruption. So I think that created a lot of media attention, and this scandal was piggybacking off of that. And I think that now they really realize that we're not joking around. These are real problems, and these are real people's lives, and it's not fair.
U.S. Representative Mike Fitzpatrick of Bucks County, and he's someone I know that you had turned to, he's calling for a criminal investigation. Is that something you would support?
For sure. I mean, if you're throwing away someone's mail, every piece of mail that could have been shredded has a date stamp on it. And when you apply for benefits, you get paid from the date that's stamped on your claim. If I walk down the street in Philadelphia and I take all my neighbor's mail and I throw it out, I expect to be criminally charged. I don't see why VA managers mm-hmm. think that they are operating on a different standard.
Well, Kristen Rula, I really appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times and getting our conversation started. Good luck to you as well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's Kristen Rule, again, attorney. She's an authorization quality review specialist in the Pensions Management Center at the Veterans Affairs Philadelphia Regional Office. She's a whistleblower and testified before a congressional committee on Monday about what she described as mismanagement at her office. We're going to take a very short break, and then we have David Wood joining our conversation as we carry on this conversation having to do with the Veterans Administration. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from the new Wells Fargo Propel World American Express card, designed to bring the world within reach for Wells Fargo customers. Details at a local Philadelphia area branch or wellsfargo.com/propel. Wells Fargo, the world is open. Keep exploring.
Looking for a tasty fruit-producing plant that can take some shade? I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next You Bet Your Garden, we'll visit the wild world of the gooseberry. Plus, a young inventor discusses his ingenious raised bed garden on wheels and answers to all your growing questions. That's You Bet Your Garden, Saturday morning at 11, right here on WHYY-FM.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Jose Antonio Vargas went from journalist to activist when he revealed he was an undocumented immigrant, and this week he was detained at the border.
I've been very angry and lost and confused. All of these politicians are basically playing political football with our lives.
We'll talk to him next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Bad energy habits around the office can affect your bottom line. PICO, smart ideas for your business can help with customized tips, information, and programs designed to save you energy and money. Learn more at PICO.com/smart ideas. PICO supports WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowina. I just said goodbye to Kristen Rule. She testified before the House Committee on Veterans Affairs about what she called the mishandling of claims at the VA's Pensions Management Center here in Philadelphia. She also said she has faced retaliation for blowing the whistle about her workplace. Joining us now is David Wood. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning senior military correspondent for the Huffington Post. And David, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty, and thanks for taking the time to really dig into this mess at the VA.
Well, and it's one of the reasons that you're here, David, is to dig even deeper. You and I have talked, and we've done a number of shows about problems at the medical centers. Here in Philadelphia, we're talking about a pension center problem having to do with management and mismanagement, as we heard from Kristen Rule. What was going through your head as she was describing what she observed in Philadelphia?
Well, I was stifling a laugh, actually, because she said how nice it was that when she got back to work the day after she testified up on Capitol Hill, sort of laying this whole mess out very clearly, she got a call from the VA central office, which is known as VACO, asking her if they could do anything for her, if she was okay. And I was just amused because at the same time, the people responsible for this mess continue to do their work and continue to get paid, and nothing has changed.
I wonder, though, I mean, if as I said, the original scandal involved medical centers, do you think if we're talking here in Philadelphia about a pension center that we're talking about the whole shooting match, so to speak, in terms of all the mismanagement and problems with data and getting, you know, trashing some of this data as well?
I think it does, Marty. And that's the really disheartening thing here is that this culture of mismanagement, a culture of intimidation, of punishing whistleblowers, of corruption is just everywhere you look in the VA, it pops up. And it's a huge problem that affects people trying to get medical care, people trying to get their benefits, people trying to get their pensions. The shortage of medical staff, doctors, psychiatric, social workers, nurses, therapists of all kinds, is partly because one of the things that I found out in my reporting in the last few weeks is that the middle managers at the VA, and especially at the VHA, which is the Veterans Health Administration, the healthcare arm of the VA, those middle managers are just generally vastly overpaid and illegally overpaid, and that's a practice that goes on and nothing's being done to stop it.
In fact, you describe them as all these people who are misclassified. They have a job description, and some of these job descriptions go on for 60 pages, but they're misclassified and, in a sense, being mispaid.
Yeah, here's the thing. Everybody that works for the federal government works under the civil service system, which was set up early in the last century after huge corruption was exposed. And within that system, everybody's job has a specific description. And according to the description is responsible for how much you get paid, what your pay grade is. So that a secretary who's a GS-4, for example, gets the same pay whether that secretary is in Boston or Phoenix or San Francisco or Manhattan. That's how the system is supposed to work.
Right.
But it began to go sour when managers at the VA were given the authority to write job descriptions, and you began to see a general inflation in the job descriptions so that people were getting paid more than they should be. Now, it's hard to tell exactly why that happened. I think some of it is unintentional. But of the thousands and thousands and thousands of job descriptions that I've looked at through internal VA data, they all tend to be classified upwards, so people are getting paid more than they should be very few of them are getting paid less, which sort of raises your suspicions.
Well, I saw a New York Times article, I think it was last month, every senior VA executive was rated fully successful over the course of 4 years. And this, of course, is in light of the scandal that we have been talking about. Is it just the whole system is riddled with problems, or how do you understand this?
I think the whole system is riddled with problems. Now, some of this, you know, we should say that there are a lot of people who work for the VA who are hardworking, who are getting paid exactly what they should get paid. In fact, they're probably underpaid for what they're doing. Enormously dedicated, skilled people, and I know a lot of them, and I think the world of them. But in general, I think the administration, management, especially in the middle layers, is just riddled with incompetent people who are getting paid more than they should be. For example, and I looked at the VA's data for the month of May, and there were overpayments amounting to about $3.3 million a year. So for that $3.3 million, it doesn't sound like a lot given how much the federal government spends. But you could hire, for that money, you could hire 5 neurosurgeons, 10 psychiatrists, and 5 suicide prevention officers for a year. And we know the whole problem with veterans having to wait for months and years to get in to see a doctor, the problem is a shortage of doctors. So you have, on the one hand, the VA's middle management being overpaid, and on the other hand, you know, basic, not well-paid clerks struggling to schedule people in and not being able to do it because there are not enough doctors.
The White House looked into this and issued a report recently talking about the quote-unquote corrosive culture at the VA.
I think, you know, the White House sent Rob Neighbors over.
That's right.
To the VA, and he's a very, very experienced guy. And if you read his report carefully, you could tell, I mean, it's couched in very polite language, but you can tell he was horrified at what he found. You know, a culture of incompetence and corruption. Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, that's quite extraordinary for a government report.
And one of the things he found, and this actually picks up on Kristen Rule, our guest that began our conversation, about a fourth of all the whistleblower cases under review across the federal government came from the VA. How I guess, vulnerable are whistleblowers like Kristen Rule and others that have gone public with what they saw as mismanagement?
Right. Well, I have two things to say about that. One is that I went with Eric Shinseki, the former VA secretary, out to a VA medical center about 15 months ago, and he met with all the clerks and administrators and staff, and he encouraged them to ask questions, and a young woman stood up and said, you know, we don't have enough resources to do our job. We're getting enormous pressure to produce, in this case it was claims for benefits. You know, and she just began to cry. She was describing this horrible situation where she couldn't get her work done and her managers were pressing on her to meet these standards. After this session was over, the VA scrambled to assure me this was off the record. And so I tracked her down a couple days later and got her on the phone, and she was terrified that I'd found her. She said, please don't call me again. I can't talk to you. I'm scared for my job. I also talked just 2 weeks ago to a young woman who's a classifier, and her job is within the VA to look at jobs that have been classified and assigned a pay grade and to make sure that that's accurate, sort of like the a parallel job to what Kristen Rule was doing at the Benefit Center. She kept running into circumstances where her managers were saying, you know, I want this job classified as a GS-7. And she was saying, it's not even a GS-6, it's a GS-5, which gets paid, you know, $3,000 less. And the manager says, I don't care, this is what I want. And she said, you know, I said, well, can't you stand up to that kind of pressure? She said, look, I got 2 kids to put through college, I need this job. And in one case, she just flat out refused to change the job classification or to approve it. And the manager waited till she'd gone on vacation and then had somebody else do it.
Wow. The U.S. Office of Special Counsel, I guess, looking into some of these whistleblower cases, does that give you any confidence that these people that come forward will be protected in some kind of way?
It doesn't give them any assurance. Now, I've talked to a lot of people within the VA over the last few weeks. They're all intimidated. They're terrified. They don't want to lose their jobs. They like what they're doing. They value working for veterans. But they're, you know, what they're telling me is, look, I'm being forced to do things which are unethical and in many cases illegal. And, you know, what do I do here? Do I follow the law or do I do what my bosses want me to do? It's just a terrible, terrible situation. And my sense is it's pervasive across the VA, except, Marty, and this is really important, okay, except in the medical part, which and medical professionals are hired on a completely different process and basis. And from all I hear, that's operated very well and accurately, and there's no problems there.
Let me reintroduce you. That's David Wood, and we're talking about the ongoing VA scandal. He's senior military correspondent for the Huffington Post, a Pulitzer Prize-winning senior military correspondent, I should say, and he has been covering and following this case of misclassifying and overpaying clerks, administrative staff, and support staff. We began the show with a conversation with Kristen Rule, a whistleblower here in Philadelphia. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Margaret from Palmyra, New Jersey, to join us. Margaret, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Yes, it's a very interesting program, and I'm glad that Kristen has a voice. I also worked at the Pension Management Center in Philadelphia. I actually went through training with Kristen. We began in 2007.
Wow.
I worked for the PMC at the VBA for 18 months. It was a very difficult 18 months. I also was a whistleblower. I went to my managers, and because of that, I faced retaliation on an everyday basis, to the point where I just could no longer do my job, and I ended up quitting. I ended up quitting during the worst economic times, but I needed to do so just to, you know, to save myself. I tried to get some help with it. I contacted Senator Menendez's office, didn't really get a response other than, you know, they were looking into that, you know, there were congressional hearings or Senate hearings going on that addressed some of the issues that I was bringing to them. I contacted the New York Times also, didn't get a response. I actually took my claim to the Merit Systems Protection Board, and the judge determined that I was a whistleblower.
Oh,
but
wow.
Because I couldn't link upper management, there was no claim there. So I applaud Kristen, and I'm glad that this is finally coming to light and that there's a voice out there.
Well, Margaret, I appreciate you calling into Radio Times as well. David, anything you want to say in response to what Margaret just said?
This story of Margaret's just makes me furious, because here's a hardworking, dedicated, honest person who was forced out of the VA, and the managers who were responsible not just for the retaliation but for the corruption she was describing, you know, are still working there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Kristen's case, you know, she discovered the problem with the overpaid benefits in 2010. 2012, the New York Times wrote the story. 2013, the VA Inspector General investigated it. And, what, 3 days ago, we had a congressional hearing. Nothing has changed. And people like Margaret are forced out. It makes me furious.
Well, and there was a story also, a local story here in Philadelphia, that some of the congressional staff that came to the office in Philadelphia, they thought that perhaps that they were given a room and there was a microphone and a camera, and they were concerned that maybe their conversations were being monitored. Does that, kind of shocking from my perspective, David, does that surprise you?
You know,
it was alleged.
Nothing surprises me. I'm
really
sorry to say. You know, I started covering the VA 4 or 5 years ago, and, you know, I started off thinking, wow, this is great, a whole agency dedicated to the welfare of people who have served the country, a group of people who we hold in the highest esteem. This is terrific. I love this. And little by little, I've just been horribly disillusioned. And I'm not even a veteran.
Well, but help us understand, though. Is it? Are we talking about corruption here? Are we talking about incompetence, confusion, unrealistic expectations? They're dealing with veterans coming home from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Then you've got veterans who are retiring who fought in the Vietnam War, and some of them having Agent Orange. Is it just sort of a confluence of all these issues?
Well, look, it's a very, very demanding business to be in charge of helping veterans. And a lot of what the VA does, the medical care, is absolutely superb and world class. I think the problem is this. There's no mechanism or no culture in the VA for saying, I can't do this. So you know that I've spent decades as an embedded reporter with U.S. troops, and I've been in lots and lots of meetings where missions are planned, and it goes through in excruciating detail, and at the last thing the commander says, okay, alibis. And, the communications guy will say, sir, the radios we're using are pretty shaky, and if they go out, we're screwed. We can't talk. Got it. The aviation guy will say, I've got 7 helicopters, and if one goes down, I can't lift everybody out on time. Got it. Okay, so there's a mechanism for saying, I can't do this, where there's no penalty attached. There's nothing like that in the VA, and I think people are just intimidated and afraid to say, I can't get all the people who are calling for medical appointments, I can't get them in. I can't meet the deadline. I can't meet the standard that that we're working under.
Well, this is a deadline that a new deadline that went into effect last year in 2013 to deal with the crisis of all the backlog. Do you think those deadlines are unrealistic?
Well, of course they are. And people in Washington are saying we ought to be able to see every veteran within 14 days. Well, that's great, and it's a laudable goal, and they should. But there was nobody in the VA would say, sir, we can't do that. We can't do that. We don't have enough doctors. Can't do it. Nobody said that.
But
nobody's saying that.
But is that about the culture, or there's now so much pressure on the agency and dealing with this backlog and the crisis at the agency that people are afraid to speak up?
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry. Working at the VA in a middle or upper management level is a pretty safe job. It's hard to get fired. And, we ought to be able to expect those people to be honest. And when VACO, the central office in Washington, says, we're going to get every veteran in within 14 days, to say, no, we can't do that. We here in Phoenix don't have enough doctors to do that. But that's not what they said. They saluted and said, yeah, we can do that. And when it turned out they couldn't, they just hid the problem and lied about it.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. Again, that's David Wood. He has won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting. He's now senior military correspondent for the Huffington Post. And we called him up to talk about the Veterans Administration, the ongoing scandal at the administration. We began our conversation with a whistleblower here in Philadelphia, Kristen Rule, who testified before a congressional committee earlier this week. We want to hear from you. Phone number 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. What should be done at the VA? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Flashpoint Theater supports WHYY and presents Herringbone now through July 27th, starring 10-time Barrymore nominee Ben Dibble. George Herringbone is a unique kind of vaudeville star with the looks, the voice, and the moves. He also has a little help, which is more than he bargained for. Herringbone is a harrowing musical ghost story that explores the true price of fame. Tickets at flashpointtheater.org and 267-997-3312. Flashpoint Theater proudly supports WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, our tribute to jazz bassist Charlie Hayden, who died last week at the age of 76. During his childhood, he sang mountain music on his family's country radio show, but he became famous for helping lead a jazz revolution as an original member of the Ornette Coleman Quartet. We'll hear interviews I recorded with him between 1983 and 2008. Join us.
this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Life's internal playlist.
There's a physical, spiritual, electrical experience that happens when you see a human being who wakes up, who comes to life.
The amazing story of how music and memory unlock the lost lives of patients with Alzheimer's, a new documentary, Alive Inside, next time from The Takeaway on PRI Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with David Wood about the ongoing crisis scandal at the Veterans Administration. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. David, we have a tweet from someone who said, this is just the way it is at any large business, is that you have people in power who are abusing that power or perhaps too comfortable in their positions. Do you agree with our tweeter?
You know, I don't think I'm familiar enough with corporate America to really answer that. But we shouldn't expect it. You know, it may be the way it is everywhere else, but we shouldn't expect it. We should demand that people be honest and accurate and do their jobs.
Now, the VA says it has reduced its inventory of outstanding claims by something like 56%. This is since March 2013. Are those credible numbers?
No, they're not. And that was pretty firmly established by the VA Inspector General, by the Rob Neighbors report. He was the guy that President Obama sent over from the White House to look into it. In every congressional hearing in the last couple of weeks has really determined that those numbers are, any numbers that the VA floats out are not credible.
Because of, for all the reasons that we're talking about, whether the dates have been changed or things have been misfiled or lost or whatever?
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, one of the things, one of the tragedies of, I think, Secretary Shinseki's tenure there was that he trusted that those numbers were accurate. And he didn't really drill down hard enough to determine that, in fact, they were all fake.
So it's probably too early to tell. There's a new head of the VA now, a guy named Robert McDonald. He comes from Procter & Gamble. Is it too soon to sort of make an analysis or have a reaction to his tenure at the VA?
Well, look, I think he's a good guy, smart, obviously, determined. I think he's anxious to get into the job. I would be horrified if somebody said, you're going to be the next secretary, because I don't know how you begin to fix this unless you start cracking down on the culture. And if you start holding people to account, and if you do it that way, it's going to be years before you turn this around. Years.
Because there's something, what, how many, 200,000 employees, something like that?
Yeah, I think there's more than that, so more like 300,000.
So it's a huge, huge bureaucracy.
It's a huge bureaucracy, and the problem is there are good people within it, so mm-hmm. You can't just go willy-nilly firing people. But I don't know. I don't know that any organization has undertaken such a thorough house cleaning as is needed at the VA.
Was Shinseki too nice?
He was too trusting.
Too trusting.
You know, again, he came from this military culture where, again, I go back to the military, the mission planning session, you know, where people are sitting around the table and the commander asks for alibis. And if you don't say anything, then he knows that what you say you can do, you can do. And what you say the numbers are, you can absolutely depend on that. And for all its faults, the military does have a culture of brutal honesty. You have to. Otherwise, people die. And so Shinseki, having spent his entire career in that culture, mm-hmm. came into the VA where there demonstrably was not that culture. And he was too trusting.
But he was one of the people that stood up to the Bush administration right before the war in Iraq.
Well, again, it's like I say, sir, we can't do that. You know, he was asked in a congressional hearing in 2003 or 2002, I guess it was, how many people do you think it would take to occupy Iraq? And he said, well, several hundred thousand. And the Bush administration hit the roof because they were saying maybe 60,000, not much more. This is going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be easy. And he was like, no, it's going to take a lot of people. And there's lots of problems looming if we invade Iraq. And he wasn't fired, but he was allowed to retire quietly, and nobody, no senior official from the Bush administration, walked out onto the field behind the Pentagon to his retirement ceremony.
Really? He was all by
shameful.
Himself?
Well, there were other military people there, but the defense secretary didn't go. Nobody from the White House went, which is highly unusual.
It's really sad. I mean, you certainly know him more than I do. I've never met the man, but I mean, he seemed to be well intentioned, but not the man for the job, you think, in hindsight?
He's a man of enormous integrity and honesty, and just the nicest person, and felt deeply for veterans. And I traveled with him a bit, and everywhere he went, he would thank veterans, and he would remind people in the VA, we are working for people who have offered to lay down their lives for their country, and that is something special, and we should treat it as a sacred honor to be working for veterans. But as I say, he trusted too much. You know, he said, we ought to be able to see every veteran, get every veteran in to see a doctor in 2 weeks. And so they put out that standard. And people said, yep, we can do that.
Yeah.
But they couldn't.
Let me get back to our callers. We've got Ian from New Hope joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Ian. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Marty, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm actually calling by proxy for my wife, who is a retired sergeant from the U.S. military. She is not really able to pursue these arguments very well, but I've been by her side for about 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And seeing the long-lasting effects. I just want to say that it's defending the hoops that they make people jump through, because these people come back after being mortared, after being shot at. They're depressed. They may have PTSD, and it makes it very difficult for people to pursue the proper avenues to get that care and the help that they need when they're already disabled. All you have to do is run into one thing blocking your path when you're in that condition, and it almost handcuffs your ability to get any help. I mean, I've told her we should get a third party to try and help, but this woman has been hospitalized, you know, not by the VA, for some problems relating to all this. And I've seen her grab our youngest child and run up to a bedroom when she hears a helicopter too close to the house, and she can't hear fireworks, you know. It just blows my mind that if somebody leaves a period off of something or a junior off a name, that their application just been shredded when they could very, very much be in great need.
Well, Ian, I appreciate your call to Radio Times, and we all obviously appreciate what your wife did. I see on the computer here she was in a combat zone and worked her way up to sergeant in the U.S. military. David, I just, you know, what do you say to Ian and his wife?
Thank you for her service, first of all.
Indeed.
And, you know, these stories are heartbreaking, and people shouldn't be treated, nobody should be treated like this. But especially, as Ian says, you know, someone who comes from home from the war zone in a kind of fragile state. And Marty, you and I have talked about the whole problem of war trauma.
Yep.
And how it's not really recognized or dealt with very successfully. And then to be, as Ian says, you know, you leave a period off your application for benefits and voot goes into the trash. It's infuriating.
You know, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I mean, David, there are some people that are saying, let's privatize the system. Let's, you know, get the government out of providing care and perhaps even pensions for some of these veterans. Is that a solution?
I think there's a way that can help. Certainly, you know, the VA already privatizes much of its health care. You know, if you go and need to see a psychiatrist, there's a pretty good chance you'll be shunted off to see a civilian psychiatrist, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Except in many cases, what I hear from veterans is, you know, they go see a civilian psychiatrist or a non-VA psychiatrist, and that person doesn't know anything about the military. So you say, well, I was an E5 in the Army, and I was hit by an EFP, and they have no idea what you're talking about. So there's a problem right there. But I do think that allowing private insurers to compete for business with the VA is a great idea.
And you, do you think it would get the VA to straighten itself up better?
I'm cautious about, dictating solutions to this problem. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the VA can't provide health care in a timely fashion to the veterans who need it. Oh, we know that's the case. Now, how do you fix that? I think one way is you dig into this overpayment of salaries to management people and clear out some of the management that's clearly extraneous to getting the job done and put that money into hiring healthcare people. I mean, that seems pretty clear from the outset. The other thing is I think it would help if the new secretary, whether it's Bob McDonald or someone else, makes a very clear demonstration of what happens to senior managers who participate in this kind of deceit and mismanagement and, fire a whole bunch of people. That would put the fear of God down through the ranks, I think.
And when is his confirmation supposed to start?
Confirmation hearing is Tuesday, so that will be a good time for everybody to air their grievances and see what he thinks. But I always find those hearings disappointing because the person hasn't gotten in the job yet. He doesn't really know a lot, although by all accounts he's getting a pretty rigorous tutorial. But it's all, what are you going to do? So right. We'll see. It's a huge job, and I hope he is up to it.
Let me get Aaron from, looks like Eastwood, to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on the air.
My question today, first, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
My question today was really around the audit process that the VA has in place. Do they have any kind of external auditor that comes in to audit them, similar to a privatized company where they check numbers and processes and things like that to see how accurate the VA's information is and how closely they're following what they're supposed to do?
David?
Not to my knowledge, no. There are internal auditors, and they're pretty good. And the people, for example, who are experienced and charged with responsibility for classifying jobs, they are terrific. And they don't have, they'll look at a job and say, this is misclassified. And so that audit, that part of the audit system works well, as it does in Kristen Rule's case, where she's in the benefit center and saying, this benefit payment is wrong. So you do have internal audits like that going on. The problem is that they're being overridden by middle management and upper management and squashed. And for example, the job classifiers that I've spoken with have been for the last 2 years prohibited from doing their job. They're not even technically allowed to look at job classifications. So, and that came down from VA central office. So there's a culture within the VA that doesn't allow its own internal auditors to do their jobs.
And this doesn't make any sense. Aaron, thanks for calling into Radio Times. David, we had a caller, couldn't stay on the line, but I'm reading from the computer. David implied that the medical side was going well. What about hearings from a few weeks ago with medical whistleblowers? Your thoughts?
I think that what that caller was referring to was the waiting times to get in to see healthcare providers. Right. Now, there has been also a problem with... there was a doctor at one of the medical centers who was taking patient notes and copying them into other patients' forms so they didn't have to go through all the work of filling out new forms. Hmm. Thousands and thousands of his patients had the same medical notes in, which was just absurd because, of course, everybody has a different medical condition. This was brought up in a congressional hearing just within the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and as far as I know, that doctor is still employed by the VA, still doing the same kind of thing. So I didn't mean to imply that their healthcare record is spotless. What I did mean to say was that their hiring appears to be done professionally and accurately, and that the healthcare practitioners that I personally know are world-class, and I think the world of them, and they do a great job.
And when you talk about people filling up forms, are we still talking paper here?
Well, one
paper
of the
forms?
One of the problems with the benefits process that Kristen Rule was talking about was that until about 4 years ago, they had a computer system that wouldn't allow you to put in the same person twice. They got a new computer system, and that computer system would allow you to enter a person's name twice if one had a social security number and the other didn't, for example. And that was part of the problem that she was uncovering. So it's not always the case that a new computer system is better. But again, it's that, you know, the people who are supposed to be ensuring that all this stuff is done accurately pretty much are doing their job. It's the managers who are interfering with that situation because they're afraid to look bad.
Mm. We're almost out of time here. What is the budget of the VA these days?
It's billions and billions. I think the VHA, that the healthcare arm of the VA, is $162 billion, I think.
Wow.
The budget is split up between mandatory things you got to pay for, and then things like medical research that is sort of extra. So it's very, very difficult to tell what exactly they're spending.
Well, always a pleasure, David Wood. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
And again, thanks for taking the time to look into this issue.
Absolutely. And he's a senior military correspondent for the Huffington Post, has won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting, and his three-part series on moral injury can be found on the Huffington Post website. We also spoke with whistleblower Kristen Rule. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can download a podcast of the show. You can also check us out on Twitter and Facebook, and you can also find out how to listen to us on satellite radio. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. Joyce Lieberman, WHYY senior engineer. Radio Times produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens, with help this week from Sophie Reed. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.